Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood and sometimes movies. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Sarah Childrey. They are a teaching artist who focuses on the intersection of theater and social justice. With a background in classical acting and ballet, Swan Lake and Swan Princess actually say a lot about their personality. You can find their poetry in zines across the West Coast and follow their graduate school journey in London this fall on their Substack. Sarah Childrey is blogging. Hello!
Hi.
Childrey founded or co-founded our Swag Book Club LA, which is how we met through Maddie Hart, who did our Hunger Games episode in the very early days. So
I
this is
was just
exciting.
thinking about plugging Swag Book Club.
I love Swag Book Club. I keep having like, oh, is this a good book for them? Is this a good book for us? So our book today is not a book. It is a double feature movie, combination of Barbie of Swan Lake from 2003 and The Swan Princess from 1994. I think I saw Barbie Swan Lake like a handful of times. I know I had the VHS. I know I had the novelization of it. That's the thing I remember the most. And I watched Swan Princess a lot. Very formative. So you mentioned a history in ballet. Have to get into that. I did dance for a handful of years when I was young. That was pretty typical stuff. I got to the age where they're like, you're either in 24/7 or you're out. And I did not want to be in 24/7.
I was in, and then I like kind of broke my back. It's like
Oh
a
my
whole
gosh.
thing more about my life. But yeah, that did the ballet and Barbie Swan Lake. Also 12 Dancing Princesses. I mean, if I may just throw that in there, of course, like
Please do.
another great ballet Barbie movie, but I was always partial to Barbie Swan Lake.
I know I enjoyed Barbie and the Nutcracker. I just like Nutcracker, not as a ballet person, but as a just I like that it's Christmas, but also a little eerie. I love the music. So I know that I watched it a few times, but had you seen Swan Princess before? Was that in your life?
I had seen Swan Princess, but kind of opposite to you, I saw Barbie Swan Lake. I mean, so many times that I couldn't pinpoint like when it started. I feel a little bit more like I'm like, okay, I know when I watched Swan Princess.
Right. So, what do you think drew you of all of the Barbie movies? Because they were cranking them out. I feel like in our childhood specifically, I know there was like Princess and the Pauper, and there was Fairytopia.
And like Barbie purple Pegasus, magic Pegasus. I had the like Scholastic Book Fair Barbie computer game for like the Pegasus one, but I can never remember what it's called. It was like there was a Pegasus and they were like, you were like in a cave. It was so epic.
Oh man, I was just thinking about this recently. I had a Barbie CD-ROM game that was like a fashion show that I know I ate up.
Kids these days do not understand the computer game.
No. What were some of your favorites in the computer game and also the I know I was on the Disney website a lot playing computer games.
I really liked PBS Cyberspace. What was that show called? There
Cyber
was
Chase.
Cyber Chase.
I was a
They had
big
an
PBS
online
kid.
game.
Yeah,
Yes.
yes.
PBS kid games were actually like really, that was my bag. And we had a Harry Potter computer game, which is funny because I've actually never read Harry Potter. That's like a secret about me that is not a secret. But I loved the game. And so I knew the storyline, but only like because of the game. And I also had a like equestrian riding game. You just like took care of horses.
Hell yeah. I think I had a Barbie one like that.
I can't remember if it was Barbie related, but I loved it.
Loved it. Oh man, I forgot about that. The Cyber Chase game was intense. Like they put a lot of time developing that game. There was a world.
Yeah, you like went to different towns and like they did a lot of animation for that.
They did it.
Someone should get a raise 20
Yes.
years later.
Yes. So what made Barbie Swan Lake the one that stuck with you of all the Barbie movies?
You know, I think there's something about swans and I that I've never been able to pinpoint. And I don't know what that says about me, but like I love swans. And I think Swan Lake was always my favorite ballet. Like somehow, before I could consciously think it, me and the swans, we ran deep. So I was just always really drawn to it. But I also think like they were my favorite characters of all the Barbie movies because there is the intersection of like you have the swan and like the princess, and you also have this purple magical talking unicorn, like check unicorn box. And then she's like in the woods, like when she crosses the little, like that checks like nature box. Like it was all of my special interests. You know what I mean?
That's so wild because, again, on us being like the inverse, birds freak me out. So there's this like not really a lake kind of across the street from my parents' house, overrun with geese, always, all
Well,
times of
geese
year.
are scary.
Yes. So that was like my, and I think they're, I mean, they're a swan's really foul cousin. Real nasty, but that like everyone in that very small town, everyone like had a sister or like had a story about like their sister getting bit by one of these geese, which was also something just around like Girl Scouts. It was like everyone's older sister somehow. But I do want to mention that Childry's profile picture on Instagram right now is from Barbie Swan Lake. Odette, our main character, as a swan with this special little crown that she has to wear. Should
And
we?
I love that crown.
Yeah. Talk about the crown.
I want that crown. Like, I think when I get married, I have to have like my veil on that specific crown. It really,
Yes.
it means a lot to me. There's something, it's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. But I feel like maybe we should talk about, in case people are not ballet or Barbie attuned, the story of Swan Lake, which I think at its most bare bones is that a girl is turned into a swan by a wizard. She appears as human from sunset to sunrise, and the spell can only be broken if her true love, which is a prince whose name usually starts with a D, declares his love for her. And there's usually the wizard will disguise someone as Odette, our main character, and try to trick the prince into saying that he loves them. How do you feel about that summary? How'd I do?
That's a pretty accurate summary. That is the bare bones, and people love to take it and kind of cook.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the real one is.
Well, I looked and it seems like no one does. It seems like
Great.
not knowing a lot about ballet and how it evolves over time, it seems like a lot of like the original book has been lost. And it's like an amalgamation of different like German folk tales. Like as I was reading it, I was like, oh, there's like Cinderella aspects with like Stroke of Midnight. There's the Little Mermaid sequence where someone else is dressed up just like her and is gonna trick her. So it feels very, yeah, very familiar, which is so.
It's like almost like the outline of every fairy tale
Yes.
is just exactly what happens. Everything you think might happen is going to happen exactly the way that you think it will. And maybe that's what's comforting about it to me.
For sure. There are minor differences like Odette in Barbie is the baker's daughter. She's just a normal girl. Where Swan Princess has, and I think this is why it appealed to me more, it has like a lot of lore and backstory and is only, I looked, is only 7 minutes longer than Barbie Swan Lake.
Interesting.
But so much happens.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Barbie Swan Lake. Maybe it's because there's so many ballet sequences, but yeah,
Yes.
like not a lot really happens.
No, but there's so much to discuss. So first off, did I notice this correctly? In the opening credits, there is a credit for the London Symphony Orchestra in Barbie Swan Lake. Huge get.
It's true. And it's actually like my favorite arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake. It's different than like, it has like more sort of magical element. Like they like sort of added some, they like yassified it. It's like Barbie-fied. And it's just, it's like little, but it's like, it's the real score, but like not quite. Oh, it's so interesting.
There is like a mystical texture to the movie. Like you were saying, like the forest, the animation style is not great. That's okay. They were doing their
No.
best. They were doing their 2003 best. The texture is really visceral. Like the forest is really vivid. And there are the Kelly dolls that are these little, at one point, the, oh gosh, like the queen of the forest or says that they are elves. It's mentioned once, but they are the little Kelly dolls dressed up as animals and they become humans at the stroke of sunset. It took me the whole movie to figure out what their respective accents are.
Oh yeah, well yeah, it's certainly leaning on problematic, unclear, but man, I love those little guys.
Yeah.
What is it, like a Russian porcupine? Is he Russian?
Yes.
Okay, and then some kind of Latina
Spanish. Yeah.
Spanish skunk?
Yeah. And
Sure.
I didn't pick it up until like the final lines where she starts actually speaking Spanish. And they have like a weird sexual tension between the two of them. I can't explain it.
I often wondered if they were in love or like siblings or they hated each other. I actually thought about them often growing up.
Yeah. They have a like a supporting cast of elves who never speak, and there's one girl whose hair is like absolutely shooting out of her head. And there's a sequence where like some of them are playing musical instruments, and she is going to town on some mushrooms as if they were drones, like absolutely pounding it. I loved
I've noticed that.
it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I loved that there was a unicorn because when I was watching it, I was like, that's a bit, that could be its own movie. Barbie saved the IP.
And I mean, that unicorn is so sassy, like, really has a personality. You really could do a whole spin-off.
Yeah. If this was made today, that would be without a doubt played by Awkwafina. Without a doubt. The voice, oh my gosh. In both stories, there is a prince who needs to get married, and his mother is saying, gotta get married. In Barbie, he doesn't want to settle down. He's like, I want to explore the world
The square
in
globe.
the square globe. Oh my God. And that is again, like, the details are so good, but that is a single, like, frame, square globe.
Yeah, and he's gonna explore the world. He's
Yeah.
gonna fall off the side of the globe.
The side of the globe.
Oops.
Where in Swan Princess, Derek and Odette have an arranged marriage from their childhood. They don't want to get together. They suddenly realize like they're hot, respectively, which I respect. And there's
Puberty.
this, I mean, Odette did something to me sexually in that movie. That is a cornerstone. She is gorgeous. And
Oh, yeah.
then she has this billowing white dress that, like you said, if I ever get married, that's the dress. She has this aerial hair where there's this front poof that doesn't make
Oh,
any
yeah.
sense, but I want it.
Well, and even the way that her hair moves in the animation, I'm like, jaw
Exactly.
dropped. Like, oh, she's beautiful. She's gorgeous.
And when the evil pretender is at the ball, she's wearing this sexy black and red dress that, yeah, stuck with me. But I, something that really amazed me is the beginning of that movie, they finally realize they want to get together. He is like declaring his love for her, and he says she's beautiful, and she goes, but what else? That changed me. And he's like, and then he says, what else is there in addition to beauty? And so that sets up the whole narrative. I don't really think they say, like, well, she's brave and she's wise, but that's true. And in Barbie, there's a line of like, she had to find courage in the most surprising, most unlikely of places herself, which I thought was cute.
So true. I did notice this watch of Swan Princess when, like, she's coming back to life and he's there. You know, he's like, what? He's saying to her, he says something like, I love you and your courage and something. And I always have. And I was like, oh, see, bro, that's what you should have said 10 years ago. I don't know how much time passes, actually. How much time passes?
I don't know. Barbie seems very short. Barbie seems like a matter of nights.
I mean, because her baker father must be so worried.
And she has a sister, which,
Which also,
whoa.
like, single frame, she just, like,
Yes.
pulled up and she did something sexually to me. She pulls up on
Ooh.
that horse. I was like,
She is the sporty one, for sure.
Sporty Spice.
She is sporty. She's on a horse. She wants to explore the world. And Barbie is very much like, I want to help Papa. And she's dancing. And again, it's like a single line. Her dad is like, you should go to all the town dances. And she goes, and have everybody stare at me? And I don't think that's ever picked up again. I was like, oh, we're laying plot, we're laying character. Okay.
Wait, also crazy layer of Barbie Swan Lake is that it you're actually at summer camp?
Yes,
You
there is a
go on
frame
holiday.
narrative that is at summer camp.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
And Kelly can't fall asleep, and she has a race tomorrow. And basically, out of nowhere, Barbie's like, do you see the swan constellation? And then we go into the movie, and that's it. I loved it. I do love summer camp, though. So anything with summer camp is
Girl Scouts.
absolutely. But I posted this moments before we hopped on my Instagram story. I am fascinated by this thematic element of will you recognize the faker is not me? Will you be able to tell? Where does that come from in the human psyche? How does it set up our children? And I really I texted my boyfriend that. I was like, if I was a swan and this sexy faker showed up who's basically like me, but maybe he didn't talk a lot. That's something in the Barbie one. Would you be able to tell? And he sent a shrug emoji back, which is so him. But like, yeah, like there's something about like the essence of me, can you tell? It's terrifying. It really is.
It is like, what does it say about being known? And what a theme to put in a children's movie.
I am thinking about it a lot. Yeah, to be known, to be recognized. And that love is like fragile like that.
I mean,
Yeah.
and I think there's a time element. Like, I'm sure maybe over time, Derek would be like, wow, Odette, you really have not said a lot. And like, probably for if that's me, Odette, whoever I'm seeing would probably be like, you love to speak. You're a talker. So I bet they would catch on,
I hope
perhaps.
so. Yeah.
But it's like, well, what if I was really quiet? Do you know the spirit of my soul?
Especially because in Swan Princess, there isn't that caveat of like she can't talk. In Barbie, it is the daughter of this evil wizard, who, by the way, is voiced by Kelsey Grammer, Frasier.
Incredible.
The big stars is Kelsey Grammer is the bad guy in Barbie, and in Princess, John Cleese is the French frog, Jean Bob. And by the way,
Love the French
Rothbart,
fry.
Kelsey Grammer's nose in Barbie is a hate crime.
It's really, well, it's bird-like,
Well, there you
which I
go.
guess is thematic.
That's true.
But speaking of Rothbart in
Yes.
Barbie, his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter is shrill, very materialistic, annoying,
Yeah, always yelling daddy.
loathed. How do you
Yeah,
feel?
really crazy girl. But honestly, fire fit. She has this like cool, like it's very vampire.
Extremely, yeah. And her hair, it's not for me, but it's a, she knows who she is.
Yes.
And good character design, absolutely. Where in Swan Princess, it's just this like old lady with one tooth who doesn't talk and is like, you're here, so we'll turn you into a princess. And then she can talk as Odette. That's the one that's, and she has this locket that Odette has. She's very convincing. That's the scary one. She, it's
Yeah,
hard to
she did a
tell.
good job.
Yeah.
What does that say about youth, age, fragility?
It does. It seems so fragile. And I know I had a big thing and it's still in there of like, if someone loves me, I tricked them into it, you know? So then it's not that your love is unfaithful or something, but it's a shortcoming in yourself that like I wasn't lovable enough. I'm thinking a lot about it.
In both movies, she's like, Odette, as a swan, is outside the windows, like banging on the windows with her beak. Like that cinematic parallel, really fun for me, but I really felt for her. Oh.
This is something that I've just been perturbed about, have a little bee in my bonnet about. I was watching when I edit these, sometimes I like to just have like a Disney movie or something on in the background, like sound off, just to stimulate my little brain a little bit more. And I was watching the live action Beauty and the Beast. Although the original movie is very big for me. That was my Disney princess. Did you have a designated Disney princess?
Aurora.
That's a really good movie. That's a beautiful movie.
And I was so scared of when she pricks her finger. Like it's like this dark, scary.
Oh.
Oh, it was like the train wreck as a
Yeah.
child that I was like obsessed with watching.
But in Beauty and the Beast, I think they removed a lot of scenes to add, like, there's an additional musical number or something. But they go from like hating each other to loving each other in like a single scene. There's like no transition. There's like not really that period. Like it's a musical number in the animated movie. And I was sort of like, is that in a lot of things? Like I think in Barbie Swan, like they just kind of meet and they're like, yeah, this is I don't want to explore the world anymore. I'm good.
Yeah. And in the cinematic universe, it probably is that simple.
Yeah. But then that makes sense that like your love is that fragile to just get some hot lady.
Yeah. I mean, and I often think when I'm watching like any sort of fairy tale movie, the aspect of like simply people were getting married
Yes.
earlier and for more urgent reasons, like, are these love stories that we're watching like really a product of patriarchy? And like it's hard when I start to overthink a fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, at least Swan Princess has that little moment of you're beautiful, but what else? It's
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, you know, a little bit of feminism really sprinkled in there, but you heard about the rest of them. It's a little scary.
Yeah. Swan Princess has two like arranged marriages between Derek and Odette that works out in the end. There's this whole, I think, really fun sequence at the beginning where they're like visiting each other every summer as they grow up. And then Rothbart, the evil villain, kills her father, abducts her, and is like, I'm forcing you to marry me so I can take over your father's kingdom. There's political machinations, two arranged marriages. It's intense.
Yeah, it's all a land battle. Political. Ugh.
And that's why Derek has to get married. He needs a queen because there's no king in that kingdom. She's a widow.
A moment for the widow's hair.
Oh my God. That I loved that queen. She was queening out, as they say.
Literally queening out. Ugh, yes.
I really love Swan Princess. And they had at least two sequels that I know I had on VHS. And I think I was like spooked about.
I was looking, maybe when I was looking up how to watch this, I saw something like on a Reddit thread that I'm going to absolutely misquote, but I think there's like 12 movies. Like it's like a whole, they got a whole thing going on.
Oh my gosh. I know they had like a Christmas movie because they tried like the Barbie animation style and it was barf worthy. So I
Yeah.
never pursued that.
I did really love in Swan Princess. Like one moment in particular that's sticking out to me is they're like showing flowers and it kind of cuts to just like a beautiful watercolory painting. Like it's
Yeah.
just like someone just got to draw flowers. I loved it.
It is such a gorgeous movie. Like we both had to rent it because it's not available streaming anywhere. And I wish it was because I would just have it like as a digital wallpaper on my television going by on mute. It is gorgeous. The texture of the forest there is also really lovely. And her transformation is so gorgeous. And as a swan, she has a little blonde streak, so you know it's her. Have
Yeah.
you seen swans in real life in person?
Yes, but not entirely frequently. They're not really just like around in the States.
No,
We have a lot
no.
of geese, but
Yeah.
as you mentioned, they're kind of evil.
I was in Hawaii recently and they had a couple swans just hanging out in the hotel. And so that they're large.
They're large. The first time I really remember seeing swans was in Germany. Like they were just
Oh,
on
yeah.
the water. And I was like, this is the most magical place on earth. That's crazy. And their feet are so funny. They're so like elegant. And then
I
they
have
just
to
have
look
like
it
gross
up.
little goose feet. I mean, they just have like bird feet.
Just normal bird feet. Yeah.
But
Sorry.
like swans seem above that to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the. Don't people say that about ducks or something, where it is this gorgeous thing above the water and then underneath they're freaking out trying to paddle? Yeah, there's something very. They're so freaky. Their necks are disturbing to me.
See, I think I have more of a thing about beaks. Like, I'm like, if a bird flies
Oh.
at me, I don't really know what to do about that. Like they're
Yes.
kind of sharp and angular, you know?
This is where my fear comes from because they have so many skills that I don't have in a fight. They can fly. They have beaks. That's a lot of my fear is that like you said, I don't know how to counteract it.
Yeah, like I think most things I feel like, oh, I could just like kick it. And I'm like often thinking about just like kicking wildlife, but I feel like, you know, if a raccoon really came at me, like I somehow feel like I could handle that. A bird coming at me, I do not feel that way.
No, I stand by my fear of birds.
And I'll affirm it. I'll allow it. But I think swans are an exception.
I think it's because they are like at a distance. They are majestic. They're not meant to be interacted with.
No.
Leave them be.
Yeah. Leave them be, please.
Brittany. I'm looking at my notes. I took so few notes for Swan Princess, and I think it's because I was really engaged. Like, there's songs, there's musical numbers.
I had totally forgotten that it was a musical. Like, my memory of it just didn't include that. And they started singing, and I was so excited.
Yes. It's sort of like how we talked about it's like every fairy tale kind of combined. None of the music gets stuck in your head. You're like always waiting for it to be like Alan Menken, like a little more beautiful than it is, a little extra harmony or something. But it does a good job. Like I want to be in my parents' basement, you know, watching this on a rainy summer day.
Yeah, there were some clever moments. It is funny, none of the songs really stuck with me, but I do remember that at one point, like, Odette says no, and it's part of the song, but it's also dialogue. And I was like, wow, brilliant minds.
I know that's something that really stuck with me is, and it's in both movies where there are these sequences of the prince like hunting and practicing. It's much longer in because it's part of a musical number in Princess, but they get these like arrows and they might be like drumsticks or something because they have like a padding on the front and they dip them in paint and shoot them at each other as like paintball. That for some reason really stuck with me. That's one of my memories of the movie.
That's funny. I love in that part of the movie that it's like he's so heartbroken, he has to be practicing. Like he's in a grind set because he's so heartbroken over Odette. Like
Yeah.
men used to do that.
Yes, he like says my fiance who I used to not like has been abducted and I'm making it my life's mission to find this animal and he like holds her father as he's dying and he's like things are not what they seem. Which theme great, good.
Things are not what they seem, and it comes up and comes up and comes up. And then David Lynch said, I am taking that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at Barbie Swan Lake Letterboxd reviews, and someone did say, like, David Lynch, multiple people mentioned David Lynch, which I think makes sense.
Funny. Yeah, it is kind of Lynchian.
Yeah, there's something kind of vacant in all of Barbie Swan Lake that is unnerving to me.
Yeah, I understand. I can't wait to read Barbie Swan Lake Letterboxd after this. I've never even thought about that. I've never even logged it. It's like not a real movie in my head.
I logged both of them, but I loved checking the like, I have seen this before, actually. It's not my first watch. That was very satisfying.
Such a fun double feature.
Oh my gosh, really, truly. And I haven't been having edibles for the last couple of days because I've just been really sleepy. I wish I did for these.
Yeah, Barbie someone like on an edible, it would probably be good for the soul.
Is it Barbie Fairytopia? There's like a weird blue little guy who's like
I
always
think it's
freaking out.
Fairytopia.
Fairytopia?
He weirdly looks like oh, there's another animated character. Maybe in Bear in the Big Blue House. Did you ever watch that?
Yes, all the time.
Okay, but isn't there a character in there that's like blue and or maybe that's Monsters, Inc. Wait.
I was thinking the little blue mouse, Tutter.
Okay, that's not who I was thinking of, but I do love it. Oh, it's gonna be a summer of Barbie rewatching. Sorry, Greta
Oh,
Gerwig, not your Barbie.
well, I was going through like old screenshots recently, and I found something that was before Barbie. It was like 2019 or something, And it was like Greta Gerwig is not saying a lot about her upcoming project, except there's a lot of tap dancing. And I was like, there was not enough tap dancing. I don't know if there's any tap dancing in Barbie.
Is there tap dancing in like the boy sequence?
Maybe, but not enough. And I don't think there's going to be tap
I
dancing
mean,
in Narnia.
I wish there was tap dancing in Narnia.
They're casting. I saw the breakdown. They are casting currently. Those little British children.
Well, I'll send them an email and say, hi, I'm not a child, but I can tap dance. And I'm just saying, if you want the ice queen to have some tap dancers or anyone else, I'm available.
I'm imagining Mr. Tumnus tap dancing with his hooves.
Oh my gosh. Would he tap with just two hooves or all four? Right? He has four hooves? No, he
No,
has
I
two
think he
hooves.
has hands, right?
His
How do
hand, back feet? Or does he have whole horse body?
I
I
don't
can't
know.
remember.
I know he's like waist down.
Are there
No,
four legs?
I think there's only two. I think there's
Okay.
only two.
I started thinking that there was more.
Yeah, centaur, maybe.
Yes, but he's not quite that centauri.
He's a satyr. Well, would you consider either of these movies required reading?
Yeah,
Okay.
I think it's required reading, like n maybe not to like be my friend or required reading like in general, but I do think it is required reading to know me.
Yeah.
To know me, to be able to recognize me if I'm the evil version of myself and I'm a swan, you need to see both of these movies.
Oh, that's so true. It feels like almost like prophylactic. Like just in case this situation ever comes up, I need you to know this could be a possibility.
Like, I just think people who haven't seen this movie maybe have not considered that. And
Okay.
it's just a new consideration for them to have.
Just to be aware of, just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Awareness for the evil non-swan version of yourself.
they just to be safe. Or when you're not acting like yourself, maybe for some reason,
Someone's got to check me.
check in. I much preferred Swan Princess to Barbie Swan Lake, and that's okay.
I think that's really fair. I think that it probably just has to do with which one we saw first.
Absolutely,
It's so much
absolutely.
deeper than who we are now. It's who we were then.
Yes, it's part of you. And it was such a treat, oh my gosh, to revisit these two. It was so fun.
Was so fun. Thank you
Well,
for requiring my required reading.
oh, of
Maybe
course.
watching.
Where would you like people to find you? You mentioned Sarah Childrey blogging.
Sarah
Sarah, what
Childrey is blogging
is
on
blogging?
Substack. I mean, they can follow my Instagram if they want. But since I'm not really acting anymore, I'm like not plugging myself as much.
Maybe that's healthy. Yeah.
Kind of fun. I feel really incognito.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, I will end the
Hey.
recording.
Hey.
Thank you, Childrey. Next episode, can you tell I'm doing a big stretch while I'm recording this? Next episode, I'm recording in a few hours. We are doing Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. It's our first poetry book, and I have a lot of feelings about poetry, so I'm really excited. Maybe not the feelings you're expecting. Or maybe you know me super well. And so you already know. Then, just a little bit of a long view, then we're doing Lord of the Flies. We are doing an American Girl doll book. Doll, not the magazine, because we've already done a magazine book, which is a very good episode, The Care and Keeping of You with Amanda Yuan. And then after Meet Samantha, we're doing Aragon. And then hopefully we're gonna reschedule The Click and Captain Underpants. And then I wanna launch some kind of summer camp series, because I'm so amped, so pumped, so excited. Even though I'm not going to summer camp, I just love it. You can support the podcast at buymeacoffee.com/required reading. You can follow me at Erin R. Bowles. And just FYI, I am on the job hunt, and I'm not saying this to be like, job please, although if you're paying above minimum wage. But what I mean is, things could change, like in terms of timeline. Obviously, like I'm not working, so I have a lot of time to dedicate to this. I dedicate like minimum 2 hours a day to this, to editing, to reading, to outreach, to some research, like Shel Silverstein. That man you're not listening this far, so I'm going to spoil just a few details. Shel Silverstein has 2 Grammys. He's an Oscar-nominated composer. Okay? And many other things. Yeah, let's wrap it up there. Thank you, Childry, again. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.